Adam Pengelly from the Sydney Morning Herald, one of those. Good morning, Adam.
Morning, Ryan, Jamie, Berkey. How was the weekend?
Very good. What did you think of Origin last night? It was a terrific performance from New South Wales, and really the talking points this morning, Freddie Fittler getting it right with those wholesale changes and proving a lot of people wrong.
Yeah, well, first of all, Ron, I'm glad we've got a decider. There's nothing worse than Origin dead rubber, is there? The build-up to that can be a little bit long and excruciating. We've got a decider now, so it's going to be enormous interest in the game. And you're right, the changes were an absolute treat, didn't they? And I think Brad Fittler, deep down, will admit that he made mistakes in game one with the team he chose. It was a much better balanced side there last night, in Perth. And the bench was really effective, wasn't it? I thought Junior Polo was outstanding coming off the bench there. I think Appy Coruscant and Damien Cook worked really well together. And Matt Burton looked completely at home in his first Origin game, didn't he? So the big question mark is, how does he fit Matt Burton and Jack White into the same team for game three? Because Jack White was New South Wales' best in game one. So,
and then what do we do with Latrell Mitchell if he's fit?
Yeah, well, that's true, isn't it? Latrell's got to get through a game for South this week against Parramatta. They only have one chance to impress the Blues selectors. So that's going to be one of his big conundrums moving forward for picking that team for game three on Sunday night. It's only a really short turnaround, isn't it? Only one game of NRL, one round of NRL this week before he chooses his team for the decider up there at Suncorp Stadium. So you'd think Jack Whiten would have to come back into the side there somewhere, given how good he was for game one. Does he use Jack Whiten maybe off the bench as a sort of a second rower slash utility and cover the centres? Does he keep Matt Burton in the starting side? Because his kicking game as well was really effective in that second half. But once they got a roll on last night, they were just too hard to stop, weren't they?
Adam, let's go to the racing world and talk to us about the Tats Tiara. Ultra impressive win from the winner.
Yeah, Star Tonte, she was great, wasn't she, Jamie? Mm. It was been a big carnival for the Queenslanders, haven't they? They've really held their own up there throughout the winter carnival. Obviously, you go back to Gypsy Goddess winning the Queensland Oaks. Obviously, Jesley Foster won her first Group 1 and Kingsford Smith Cup. And now Robert Heathcote with Star Tonte and the Tats Tiara. And that was just Jason Collody's absolute best there on the weekend. I know she was a little bit slow into stride. And then you could just see Jason pinching some runs along the inside there, trying to weave a passage through, and all the brakes sort of fell for him, and she was the strongest filly late. So, great training performance by Robert Heathcote. She's been up for a while. She's had a lot of racing, had a very busy three-year-old season going way back to the spring when she contested the Golden Rose, and here she is, the last Group 1 of the season, winning the Tats Tiara. So, well done to all connections. I thought Snap Dancer Jamie was fantastic up on speed there for Kieran Maher and David Hughes. She had to do a power of work in the early stages, and it was really good boxing on late. They had a couple of those horses sort of doing their best work late, the likes of a Tissue and Nudge as well. But take nothing away from the winner. She was far and away the best horse on the day.
Well, I think they named this one after you, didn't they? The Stayers Cup. What did you make of Shameless, mate?
Yeah, she was Shameless Miss, but she was fantastic, wasn't she? They sort of changed this race around. I'm pretty sure this used to be a genuine two-mile race for a number of years now. They just brought it back to 2,600 metres. And she's a horse that's been going through the grades with Chris Waller, obviously going through her midweek races, winning there at Warwick Farm last start, winning a couple of races at Warwick Farm this campaign on the wet tracks. Only a small field there, but she was extremely strong late. So very hard to get a guide about where she's going to sort of end up later in her career, whether Chris gives her a little break and tries to target maybe a race at the back end of the spring. I'm not too sure. She's putting a really nice record now. Obviously, 6 wins from 14 starts. Obviously, limited opportunities with a horse that needs to get over ground like her, but she's gone about her business in the right way.
And Joe Pride, another big day.
Yeah, enormous. Taxi winning the Civic Stakes for Ryan. What a great ride by Glenn Schofield. Just took no prisoners there, went forward, went along on a really decent cliff and said, catch me if you can. And I know he's getting a little bit tired late, but he made the winning move. I reckon about the 800-metre mark when he sort of clicked him up, and nothing could catch him. Oscar Zulu was great late. Looks like Elvis coming back up to Sydney from his win at Flemington last night. Start was really good, and it was a big day for the Schofield boys there. Glenn obviously rode the feature race winner, and Chad had a couple of winners. Just starting to find his feet back in Sydney after what's been a pretty tough 6 months, it must be said. But he's starting to build up those connections now with a couple of winners, and I'm sure there'll be plenty more winners in store for him in the last 6 months of the year.
Just on Glenn Schofield, Adam, he doesn't seem to be taking or either maybe getting a whole bunch of rides, yet he's still riding at metropolitan level. So I'm just wondering, I know he's winding down his riding career, he's sort of said that, but he doesn't seem to be taking a lot of rides in the provincials, or he's certainly not saying, okay, well, you know, I'm not getting a ton of rides in the city, so I'll go and take 4 or 5 at Newcastle. So where's he at with his riding career at the moment?
Yeah, he's obviously in the latter years of his career, if I can put it in those terms, Ryan, and you're right, he's only just sort of picking up a couple of rides each Wednesday and a Saturday, and he's obviously determined to try and keep building on that. Hasn't gone to the provincials where he could probably command a book of 6-7 rides each time he goes there. So I think he's really desperately trying to fight his way back into the mix there, Ryan. We know the Sydney Jockeys room is just so particularly strong. It's really hard to get a toehold in that room, and Obviously, even more guys potentially like Blake Shin coming back to the Sydney Jockeys Room as well later this year is going to make it even harder. So Glenn, when he gets the opportunity, he can still deliver. And I just thought his tactics and ingenuity was first class in the feature race there on the weekend. Obviously, with some of the higher profile jockeys up there in Queensland. For Tats Tiara Day, Glenn made every post the winner there in the Civic Stakes.
So we're doing Heroes and Villains this morning, Adam. Just probably back to Origin. I'm sure Heroes and Villains would feature in your mind. Who are you thinking this week for yourself?
Yeah, Nathan Cleary was fantastic. Has to be the hero after what was a pretty tough game one for him. I don't think it was through any fault of Nathan's in game one. He just didn't get the platform that he needed. At course, Stadium there to really shine. And he got that platform there yesterday and he was fantastic. Just showed what a champion halfback he is. We keep forgetting how young he is, Ryan. He's 24 years old still. So he could still play for 8, 9, 10 years potentially. And what he's achieved in his career so far is absolutely fantastic. So, yep, he's definitely my hero. I haven't really thought about a villain, to be perfectly honest. I'm trying to take positive vibes out of the weekend, guys.
Yeah, well, there's plenty of positives, as Jamie spoke about earlier, with her heroes and no villains. She just made lots of heroes, but it has certainly been one of those weekends. We've been debating a lot this morning, Adam. I'll be interested to get your thoughts before we let you go. Just about the sin binning last night, it's been very divisive on the text line this morning. Some people saying that the referees were probably a bit heavy-handed and probably needed a bit more warning. Berkey and a lot of other people are saying that to the letter of the law, it was an absolute sin binning. What was your take on it and how did it change the context of the game?
Yeah, firstly, at first I didn't like it when the initial decision made. I thought, well, gee, that's a bit harsh. And then you go and watch it, I suppose, in the cold light of day and just see the build-up to it. There was a lot of penalties and a lot of stoppages with ruck infringements in the lead-up to that. And Ashley Klein just lost his patience. I know Daly Cherry Evans, the referee, was sort of was pointing out to the referee last night saying that a lot of the infringements leading up to that were for all different types of misdemeanors, when putting those terms, for offsides and holding down the ruck. But I don't mind it in the end. And Queensland did really well, as you guys mentioned earlier this morning, to hold on that 8 minutes after half time. They could see once New South Wales scored that first try after Kafusi came on, the floodgates just completely open. So no doubt, I think the officiating changed from game one to game two. A lot more penalties there last night. And whether that was for the talk in the media in the build-up and Brad Fittler's complaints, I'm not too sure. Billy Slater was quite interesting. I don't know if you guys saw in his press comments last night. He didn't bite when asked about the refereeing and the officiating. He said he'd go back and look at it and analyse it going forward towards game three and probably try and get his team to improve himself before he worries about the officiating. But no doubt, deep down, I don't think Queensland would have been too impressed with how game two played out from a refereeing point of view.
Good on you, Adam. We'll chat to you later in the week.
See you, guys.